Welcome you all here today. I know our brother Gary has prepared himself to speak to us this time. I know he's also been working hard this week, as he's relayed to me. But I know that God has always taken care of us when we humble ourselves, and so I know that God has helped Gary out and given him something to speak to us all. So I know he would ask for your prayers, so please pray for him, and that he may be able to give us the message of the hour. I'll give you our brother Gary.
And I appreciate your comment, how Aaron has stated that the Lord takes care of us when we are humble, and how true that is. I'd like to greet each and every one of you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those that are live streaming, welcome. I'm going to turn this light off because I do not need that. And I do appreciate having the time to be able to come here and the comment that Aaron had made about me working a lot this week, because, yes, that is true. I put in a lot of hours this week, but I don't get to appreciate all the rewards that come with that because I'm not an hourly employee. So it's bittersweet. We accomplished a lot and got a lot done, but at the same time, it's a set amount of pay, and I'm just excited to be able to be here today and to be prepared, because I made sure this week that I took specific time to be able to apply myself to this sermon and to, even as tired as I was, just to be able to be prepared, to be able to bring a message to each and every one of you and those that are live streaming. But I think it would be appropriate today, as our pastor has commented this morning before the service, or as the service was starting, to not use cups, so I'm going to go ahead and write my name on the cup here. So if you kids out there do take cups, you could just write your name on it during lunch. And that way, you don't grab cups time after time again just to get a drink of water. But we do want to exercise using the water fountains. So, I don't know, I just had to say that. So, once again, you know, it is truly something in my life that the Lord has shown me as far as being humble, the importance of that and how rewarding that can be. And believe it or not, that's specifically what I'm going to speak towards this morning, is an example of being humble. And I was talking about my job with Aaron and how busy it was. And, you know, it's something that I've learned a life lesson over the past few weeks, because a lot of the things that I'm doing at work, I'm changing policies and procedures, and I'm trying to get the train on the right track with our inventory, because we work on vehicles, and so we keep a specific inventory. And as we all know, vehicles get old and they go away. Well, along with that, we got to monitor the inventory and make sure the parts that were used to repair those vehicles go away with them, because there's no sense in keeping parts on the shelf that are no longer relevant for what the vehicles that you have in service at the time. So it's been a lot of changes in, you know, getting equipment repairs done and on time and making sure we're taking our care of our customers. Is really important to me, and it's important that I do that, because it just shows that, you know, I care about the position that I have, and that's overall the responsibility I have. And that responsibility and the authority I have comes with a lot of responsibility. And I was thinking about that this week, and those that are in charge and, you know, the actions that they take when they are in charge. And that's what I wanted to speak towards today, because I look at levels of authority. A lot of us have those kind of levels of authority, and the lesson that I learned in life is that, you know, you can be in charge, but that's just a title. And it's important that if we are in charge of something, that we just don't have the title, but that we actually take charge and that we apply the necessary laws of God and His commandments to make sure that when we are in charge, we're following after that which He has taught us. And how important that is, because, you know, we're the example. We're the Christians, and we have to set that example and that standard, not only for ourselves, but for those that are around us. And, you know, there's so many things that one can do when they're in a position of authority. You know, there's so many different kind of emotions and feelings and frustrations that come along with it. And sometimes, you know, we can even abuse the power that we do have. You know, some people of authority, they exercise that authority in ways that aren't a according to the ways of God, and that are for their own personal gain, and that can harm others and mistreat others. And one of the things I wanted to talk about was that, because how we express ourselves and those things that we say and that we do is so important, because, you know, it's a direct reflection on who we are as Christians. And those are the things that are looked at us because we're a peculiar people. And, you know, believe it or not, all of us, each and every one of us, are in charge of something. You know, whether it's a pet, whether it's family members, our children, we could be a young child and have the responsibility of feeding and watering the dog every day. You know, that's a position of authority, and to make sure that you're taking care of something. You know, it's not the highest level of authority, but there's a specific animal or someone that person is relying on, or a thing that is being relied on. And, you know, we have a new puppy in our house, and it's something that we have to take care of and nurture and bring up, and we're trying to raise this puppy properly so it won't escape and go and harm somebody. You know, we have a responsibility to make sure that we're training this puppy properly, you know, making sure that it's obedient, making sure that it's listening, trying to make sure, and that's one that we're still working on, that it's not pottying wherever it wants to go potty. You know, that's important because things become a mess when there's no authority put into a position that requires set rules and standards. Things get out of control and things go awry. And so we can also be leaders on a team. Whether it's a little league baseball team, we could be really good at baseball or football, and we can be a team leader. And when we're a team leader, we're motivating people. We're motivating the team to head in a certain direction. And on a team, you know, what is it? We want to win. What are we going to do? What am I going to say as a team leader to make sure that everybody's focused on the goal and that we're going to be able to accomplish the set standard of winning the game? And there's a responsibility that comes with that. We want to say the right things. We want to give the right words. We want to put those emotions into each other that are going to drive people towards that goal. And that's what the Lord has done with us in our lives. And that's what Jesus has came and shown us, is he's setting the example for us. He's shown us the way and the path, and to be able to stay focused on that. And, you know, as of course, we could be in charge of employees. And, you know, levels of authority in our employment and in the jobs that we work in our careers. I know that each and every one of us has worked with people that probably have, you know, applied some of their responsibilities onto someone else because they just didn't want to have to take care of that. You know, that kind of happens in life, and, you know, how we receive those things and how we act upon those things. You know, we could take it one or two ways. We could tell our employer to go fly a kite and find a job somewhere else, or we can work hard and achieve that goal and make it successful, not only for us, but for our employer too. And that's the position of a servant. And, you know, sometimes that gets really abused, and we do have to go find employment elsewhere because we're seeing that too much is being abused. We're being abused too much, and things aren't being done with that. And there's reasons for dismissal, or there's reasons for us to be able to go find employment somewhere else. Because all that weight comes down on our shoulders, and it makes it difficult for us. And being treated unfairly, you know, as a person of authority, that's something that I try to make it to where, you know, everybody's treated the same. It's equal across the board. We all have in our jobs a rope to tow, and everybody's got to pull their weight, and it functions as a team. So getting back with one of our departments, our parts department, you know, that's I tell my team members there, my employees, that this is the heart of the whole operation. Being here and making sure that we get our parts in a timely manner, that we have them to the technicians in a good sufficient amount of time within 1 to 2 days, and getting these repairs out, getting the repairs done correctly, and making sure that the equipment and the vehicles are safe for those operators that are using them is very important, because the airport has a lot of function here in the city. And if we don't have everything in order and everything functioning right, things could go wrong really quickly. If somebody gets hurt, if something isn't repaired right, and there's a piece of equipment that breaks down on the airfield and we have to get it off, that causes all kinds of issues. And there's those kind of things that we have to take into consideration as a person of authority just to make sure that operations are running smooth. So with that, you know, one of the most important things I think is that we're in charge of is our own lives. Each and every one of us is in charge of our own lives. And how important is that as a Christian? You know, we have adversity, we have decisions we have to make every single day, and how important is it that we have the Lord involved in those decisions? You know, that's in my Sunday school today. I was talking to two young gentlemen in the back, and I was saying, you know, this is one of the most important things you guys could do in your life. If you're early in your life and you're getting started, make sure that you include the Lord in that, because all those opportunities, all the decisions that you're going to have to make, you know, when the Lord's there with you, he's going to put in your heart to let you know what is right and that what you should do. And he's going to lead you through life. And if you let him lead you through life, you know, and you're focused, you're steady on the path to what you're going to try to accomplish, and the Lord's leading in you in that, you're going to look back and you're going to see all those things that you have accomplished and how blessed you were, and see that gradual increase of changes and how it moves you in a place that is better and better the more and more you rely upon the Lord. And so, you know, with that, are we taking charge of our lives? Are we being thoughtful of others? Are we thinking about those things that we say and that we do before we say it? And do our words and our actions reflect that of a Christian? And that's something we have to exercise on a daily basis. You know, just having that authority, having the label, that means nothing. It's all in how you exercise that. It's in all how you prepare to meet your day and to meet those that you're going to be in charge of throughout the day. And most importantly, be in charge of yourself. Be in charge of those things that you do, your actions and your words. Be in charge of being an older brother or an older sister. Be in charge of a responsibility that you have. Take charge, do those things, and do them accordingly as the Lord has instructed us to do. It's all in the gospel, and we're going to go through a pretty good example here. But before we get to that, I wanted to read a couple scriptures. And the first one is in Luke chapter 14, verse 11. It says, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." And as my brother Aaron was saying this morning, you know, that's a key step in being a Christian, is humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves to the depths of humility. And we look at that, you know, if we're exalting ourselves, we're not being humble. We're putting ourselves above people. We're putting ourselves at the top of the totem pole and making announcements to everybody that I'm that guy. I'm the guy in charge. You're going to listen to me. And a lot of times we see people come into my place of employment, and we see their actions and how they come in when they have a level of authority as a supervisor, a soup 2, soup 3, a superintendent. And they come in we call them gunslingers, because they come in and they just come in with their guns blazing, trying to change people, change everything, make it the way they are, and they're not listening. And I think that's a key part of it. They're not listening to the people that are well-seasoned in how things operate and act and know how the city works, knows how the operation it functions. And those are important things, and our ears have to be open to that. We have to take those things in. Yeah, we could have the best ideas in the world, but the guy that's sweeping the floors or mopping the floors, he could have some pretty good ideas too, because he's been there for 30 years and he sees things. And that's what, you know, the Lord is giving us an example of, is that he's been around forever and he knows everything and he sees everything. So what better person to listen to help you in your life than the Lord himself? Don't listen to, you know, those that tell you, oh, because you have the position of this, you can't do that because that's below you. How untrue is that? Become that servant of Christ as Christ asks you to be. And so that title of a Christian should be justified by our actions. We should be doing those things. We should be getting down in the trenches with the people that are working hard and trying to figure things out to make things smoother for them and to make the whole operation a better place for everybody. And I look at that, and that's what the gospel instructs us to do. You know, be kind to one another. Be forbearing. Edify one another. Lift each other up. Pray on those things. Do those things that the Lord commands us to do. He shows us all kinds of examples of that. And we shouldn't think irrationally when we do that. You know, as times get difficult, I call this the true color moment. You know, things are getting stressful. Things have to be done in our lives. We have difficult decisions to make. That is the most important time that we call upon the Lord in prayer, because that's when we need Him the most. Because isn't it true that at those times where stress is built and angers and frustrations, no matter what the situation is, that's when we usually blow, I call it blowing a gasket. Some people call it blowing their stack. And, you know, that's when we really got to see those things and make those rational decisions and focus on how the Lord wants us to react. Be calm, be patient, be long-suffering, be kind, be thoughtful, guard our words and actions. That's a big key statement at the city, is to guard our words and actions, because, you know, there's things happening and words fly when stress comes about. So be rational in our decisions. Think as a Christian would. Always ponder on those things that the Lord has given us, and to be fruitful for Him, to be a light for Him, not to be hidden underneath a bushel. I'm going to read in Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 23 through 26. I'm starting to like technology, by the way. I am one of those people that had a tough time getting into it, and now I really enjoy having everything in here. So I have everything laid out, so I'm going to keep pressing forward. You guys are more than welcome. I could give you a copy of this, or you can write it down as we go along, but I'm not going to be turning to my scriptures. But I like to have my books here with me at all times. I don't know, it's kind of like a comfort pillow, you know? I like to have, it's like my security blanket, because I know that when my scriptures are close to me, so is the Lord. And that is a good thing to have, you know, is to always have the Lord in an arm's grasp, to always have Him right there at a moment's notice. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 through 26 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." So this is telling us, you know, make sure that you think about your actions and the course that you're going to take before you actually get there. And it's so we don't stumble, so we don't fall, so we don't fall short or go off the right path in which the Lord calls us to do. Be careful. Observe what you're doing. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. Think about those things that the Lord has given us as tools in our lives, not only for the welfare of our soul, but for the welfare of those others that are around us. So in Luke 12:48, it says, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." And I've learned that in my life, that over the years, you know, as we get more and more responsibility, I ask myself more and more, why did I put myself in this position? It's just crazy. There's so much going on. There's so much I got responsibilities over, and it's just overwhelming. But let's always keep in mind that the Lord never gives us too much than we can bear. And it is so rewarding in life when you can help others get to a place where they need to be, to help them in their lives, to say words. I have a lot of friends and family that's going through difficult situations with cancer, and you know, it's a burden. It's a burden upon my heart. You know, there's people that I work with directly that have family members with cancer, and they can't be at work, so it puts more stress on us. And just the other night at 4 o'clock in the morning, I received a call. I had to take my wife to the emergency room, and I'm not going to be able to make it in today. And these are one of the people that are in one of my departments that I rely heavily upon. And I know it's because he has come to me And he has communicated that with me, that, you know, my wife is going through this difficult time and I might be missing days, and this was one of those days. And, you know, it was something that I was prepared for. And I told him, you know, brother, don't worry about it. We're going to make do with what we got, and we're going to keep pushing forward. If you can make it, great. If not, I completely understand. You know, we have to have that mentality that the rug could be pulled out from underneath us at any time. But when we have something in place, when we're prepared because of what the Lord has given us in our lives, we'll have those words to say. We'll have those kind gestures to do and be able to, you know, lift people up and let them know, instead of being frustrated, well, I really relied upon you. Why in the world can't you make it? Now you're messing everything up. No, kind words, kind actions. You know, I'll be praying for you. You know, I understand it's a difficult time. You know, it's something that you have to take care of, and family first. Our family is first. And just like Christ loved us, we have to love one another in those ways. We can't let business or our operation take charge of our lives. We can't let that become the idol in our lives. But we have to rely upon, you know, those things that are important, which is what the Lord gives us. And Him helping us through those situations and showing us how to be humble and to be thoughtful for others, I'm going to give a prime example of that. And it's going to be in John chapter 13. I'm going to go through verses 1 through 17. And this was, you know, something I was thinking about, that, you know, getting down in the trenches and helping each other out and showing as an example how important that is as a Christian. And nobody else, I can say, has given a better example of that than Jesus Christ Himself. And I'm not going to, this is the Last Supper, and I'm not going to go through, there's probably three different sermons that you can give in this, these few verses in itself, but I'm going to stick mainly on the fact that Jesus in the washing of the feet and how He humbled Himself and put Himself in a position as a servant to show those that are around Him what it's like to be a Christian. And there was a lot I learned from this, and I wanted to share that with you. And it says, I'm going to read verse 1. I'm going to stop at the end of verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. He knew what was going to happen. He knew the path that His Father has given Him. And He loved everyone to the end. And He loved us, and He'll love those that come. And He's loved everybody to where He put Himself on the cross. And did He have to do it? No. We understand and we read that, you know, He could have caused 10,000 angels to come and to save Him, but He did His Father's will as He commanded. Now I'm going to read real quick in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 through 6, because I want everybody to know what this man, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, went through. You know, and despite all of that, He still did what He did. And it says in verse 3, we're going to read 3 through 6 in Isaiah chapter 53. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we were our healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. You know, that's the Lord showing us His love. That's Him doing what He did for each and every one of us and the welfare of our souls. He did what His Father called Him to do, and He did it for a reason. He did it for you. He did it for I. He did it for our children. He did it for our grandparents. And He did it for our children's children. But I'm going to go on. I'm going to read 2 through 5. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth up from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poureth the water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And I want to kind of give a little background on that process in which they washed their feet before a meal. This was during the meal, but most of the time in the traditions of the Israelites, they washed their feet before they entered a house. We know that in the Old Testament, the high priest would be cleansed from head to toe. We know that before he entered the Holy of Holies, he would be completely cleansed. And little background, in that day and age, you know, the Israelites, they wore sandals instead of shoes, and they usually went barefoot into houses, not to disrespect the owner of the house. And the frequent washing of the feet was a necessity and a part of their custom when they entered into someone's home. So this was a custom that they had. And in that day and age, there weren't no sidewalks. There weren't no paved roads. Their feet would be filthy from the elements that they were exposed to, rocks and dirt, and I'm sure thorns and dry grass and, you know, all those things that come along with it. So the foot was probably the most pleasant thing when it arrived at somebody's house. You know, their feet were probably very filthy, and, you know, they probably had calluses. They probably had blisters. They had sores. You know, the foot was probably more of a tool than a member of their body, because they didn't have, you know, they didn't have, actually wrote it down here, they didn't have manicures and pedicures back then, and, you know, their feet were very, very tough and rugged. And so, you know, they also didn't have a change of socks every day like we do now. They didn't have gym shoes that they could put on every day and go miles and miles in them with, you know, out even feeling anything. You know, they had the bare bones necessities to be able to shod their feet just to be able to make it from one place to the other. And they had to bring them through all the elements, and, you know, it probably after miles and miles of walking, they didn't have cars, and after miles of walking, their feet were probably tore up pretty good. But over time, they get callous and they get tough. And so, you know, when they would come to somebody's house, they would wash their feet. You know, this was a custom that they practiced. And so at the Last Supper, Jesus would have been the host, and the host never washed the feet. Usually it was done, and it was a servant that did that and treated the guest accordingly, and this was something that they practiced. So washing the feet of weary travelers would have been a job delegated to a Gentile slave or a servant by the host. The host of a meal would certainly not lower himself to performing this vile task because it's just filthy. And here's the Lord taking himself and putting himself into that position of a servant and showing the disciples, you know, this is what the heart of a servant does. And this is what I am showing you. And I'm going to go to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. It says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashions as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So Christ knew all this was going on, and he wanted to do and perform this act to those that were close to him to show them, you know, this is the heart of a servant. This is what a servant does. He's a friend. He is no higher than them. Even though he's our Lord and Savior, he humbled himself to the depths of humility to perform this act, to show his kindness. And Jesus tells us himself in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, "The last shall be first, and the first last." And in the washing of the feet, he shows his willingness to take on the work of the last and the least. So he has that will and that desire to show each and every one of us that even though he is the Son of God, that he himself is willing to perform these acts, to be a servant down to the lowliest level, to show everybody the kindness of his heart and the heart that we should have. So what happens? "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? So I was thinking about that, and I was like, you know, I look at myself and Peter, and I probably put myself in his shoes, because, or sandals for that matter, and I would say, you know, Lord, what in the world are you thinking? You're crazy, because, you know, you're the Lord, and there's no way in the world I am going to let you wash my feet because of who you are and what you've done and what you're about to do and have to go through. And you know, this is something that I can completely relate myself to what Peter is saying right here. And so, you know, this is a man that healed the sick, Jesus Christ. He gave sight to the blind. He raised the dead. This is the Son of God. And I would say the same thing. I'd be like, there's no way in the world you're doing this. And then, you know, the Lord touches his heart. And he's going to tell him why he's doing this. And it's a good example of when we should listen to the Lord. As a father would talk to his child, how their ears are open. When there's that small, still voice, if there's trouble all around, how when we just stop and we talk calmly and we know that it's of meaning and that it's of purpose, how we need to have our hearts opened and receiving that message which is given from the Lord. And I think this is part of the whole reasoning. And if you read in Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 27, you know, where they were at the feast, they were arguing, who is the greatest among us, you know? And I'm going to read that. It says that there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he, being Jesus, said unto them, the king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. So he's telling them right there, you know, you guys, quit your arguing, love one another, and do those things that I am calling to do you to do, and that I'm showing you that which I am going to do. And he says in verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou now knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And so, you know, Jesus is going to show him, you know, this is important. It's important that you understand that us humbling ourselves is the key. That is the key in which we serve as Christians to get us into the Lord's house. And I'm going to read in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 45. I'm going to skip a couple verses within those verses because I'm just going to stick to what's relevant. And this is a good example of that, which I just spoke about in verse 7. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And here is a prime example of that. And one of the Pharisees desired, and this is verse 36 in Luke chapter 7. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with them, with him. This was Jesus. One of the Pharisees wanted Jesus to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. In verses 40 through 44, I'm going to jump through that because it's a little parable on a creditor and the debtors. And I'm going to go directly to verse 44. And Jesus, it says here, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since I have came here, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. You know, and what he is saying is that this act of humility, this act that was which was within her heart, was so humble and so meaningful that he forgave her of her sins. And what his point was to his disciples was that, you know, this is a complete act to strip you of pride, to strip you of self-ambition, and it's a lesson in love. This is a lesson in love right here. And it's a lesson in humility and services, which are fundamental virtues in a Christian life. And we have to remember those fundamental virtues and keep those in our heart and practice those daily. So I'm going to go back to the Lord's Supper. Supper. In John, and I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. So Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thou not, thou hast no part with me. If you are too prideful, if you are thinking yourself in that manner, and your heart's in the wrong place, you're not going to have any part with me. You're going to let me perform this. You're going to let me show you the way. You're going to let me show you what my expectations are, how you are to act. And then it clicked with Peter, and he said unto him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. So he stopped, and he listened, and he received the Lord's word, and he took it in. And it was like that, oh, moment, I know what you're talking about, and I understand. Lord, lead me. Show me the way. And I think this was also a good representation of a Christian and how we should stop and listen to that small, still voice and how we should be receptive of what the Lord has for instructions for us. Not to think of our own thoughts and to make up our own decisions, but to let the Lord lead us in those thoughts and in our actions. And I also thought about this, the foot washing here. You know, we know as Christians, we enter into the water of baptism. We are cleansed of all sin. We come out a new person, a new creature. All of our sins are forgiven. It's a new start for us, a new beginning. And I was looking at this, and I was kind of thinking about it. And this is my own personal thought here. And you know, we are all needing to be cleansed on a daily basis. We all have to do that. We have to get down and we have to be humble. We have to kneel and we have to pray to ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins, to ask Him, you know, Lord, forgive me of that which I have done. And I looked at that, and the washing of the feet is kind of a representation of that. Every time that somebody would enter another person's house, it was their custom to wash their feet, to cleanse themselves. And I was thinking about it, and I kind of put it all together, and I came up with this idea that, you know, we walk through life. We walk down these roads. We walk down these paths that are contrary to the Lord. We're all sinners. And we pick up that dirt and that filth that's in the world. And we pick up calluses and we pick up sores and our feet get damaged and they get beat up. This is the world that we live in. These are the struggles that we deal with daily. And when we come and we wash our feet and we cleanse them, it's the same thing as kneeling down and praying to the Lord, you know, forgive me my sins. I do not want to walk down those paths no more. Wash me clean. And, you know, we all know that if we go run around in the backyard or out front doing yard work in our bare feet, you know, walking through dirt and rocks, how they get all dirty and nasty, and we go and we bathe them in the bathtub or rinse them off even with the hose on a hot day, you know, how nice that feels, how comforting that feels to have those your feet cleansed. And the same is within the Lord, that when we have those sins and that we seek Him daily and that we repent of our sins daily, how we get that joy and that peace in our life and that comfort, knowing that He is there and forgiving us. So I'm going to continue on, and it says in verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. He's talking about Judas here. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye not,
know ye what I have done to you. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you the example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 20, and read verses 26 through 28. And it says, but it shall not be so among you, but, this is Christ speaking, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give his life for ransom for many. This is, you know, a pure display of Jesus Christ's humility and servanthood, washing of the feet. And the washing of the feet was in direct contrast to their hearts and their attitudes at that time. They were talking about each other, who's greatest, who's above who, and this was in direct contrast to that. And for us, washing our feet is that symbolism of our role in the body of Christ. You know, we have to wash ourselves clean of our sins, and we do that through repentance, through faith, through baptism. And as we walk down the roads in life and we pick up these things and we get beat up, we can know that the Lord is there for us and that we can rely upon Him to forgive us of those sins. And it says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find it. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You know, this is Christ telling us, you know, treat each other, you know, the way that you desire to be treated. And a lot of that is difficult at times, you know, and a lot of that is having patience. Having patience within ourselves to be able to do the thing that we need to do, say in the right way, and say the things that we need to say in the right way. And Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head over all principality and power. And, you know, be aware of that. Be aware of that vain deceit and the philosophy of the world. Like, why are you doing this? Why? You're better than this. You know, you should not be helping this guy out. You should not be helping this girl out. You know, this is just ridiculous. Look at them. You're above that. Don't have that mentality and that frame of mind. Do as Christ leads your heart, and he'll lead your heart in the right path. And it says in Mosiah verses chapter 1, verse 49, and behold, I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom, that you may learn that when you are in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God. And how true that is, how richly rewarded we are when we're in the service of others, because we are in the service of our God. How the Lord blesses us in that. So, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, if we humble ourselves, the Lord's going to exalt us. And that's what he calls us to do. He gave us a perfect example of that through the washing of the feet, and how a man of his nature, the only begotten child of God, how he put himself in the position of a lowly servant to show each and every one of us how we should be walking through this life. So with that, I know that each and every one of us, once again, have something that we're in charge of, and the number one thing that we all have in common that we are in charge of is our own selves. We're in charge of our actions, our thoughts, that which we say and do. But, you know, make sure that those things are treated accordingly, according to the gospel, according to what Jesus asked us to do and showed us how to do. He set the example. Take charge of that. So with that, I thank you for your time, and may God bless each and every one of you. Those that are watching, thank you, and God bless.